Man, we had a great week. It was tremendous. I'm just ecstatic about the week and what God has done. And we got our building permit to finish the upstairs. We got that done Wednesday. Amen. But more importantly, on Wednesday night, we had our invitation for our kids and for Vacation Bible School, and we had 12 saved. Amen. So when we first got the permit to build this building, I told everybody I'd do a cartwheel. So I have decided, on the occasion of our 12 kids get saved, that I'm going to do a cartwheel this morning. I figure if you can get excited about a building going up, you ought to get excited about 12 people getting saved. Amen. How many nurses we got? Raise your hand. I know there's more than one nurse in here. Where's Brother Harry at? All right, Brother Harry, y'all ready? Anybody got, if you got a camera, you got a cell phone. Yeah, 911 on speed dial, somebody? Yeah, this will be on YouTube before church is over. It's fine with me. My video guys. Hello, Internet. Oh, that means Brother Treadwell's watching. Hey, let's make this for Brother Treadwell then.
Need more room.
Amen. 12 more, I'll do it again. Amen. Now I'm shaking. All right. I was scared. Oh, no. All right. Well, it was exciting. Exciting, too. We had 218 last Sunday. The Lord's blessings upon the church. Been tremendous. And I am excited. I'm excited as I've ever been about what God's doing at Heritage Baptist Church. And we ought to be excited about it. And show a little passion about it. Amen. Cartwheel's a little overboard, but that's okay. You know, some people still don't know how to take me, do they? You know? That's fine. I'm who I am, you know? And I have a good time being me. I really do. I just really do. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, as we transition so spiritually into the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and such a serious message to begin it on such a strange way. But this is a very serious message, and I believe these verses here, and we've preached on these verses before. Actually, I preached on them 7 years ago on this date nearly. And so some of you who keep track, I do keep track of how often I preach something. But such a relevant passage. Boy, something's not right. Such a relevant passage to today and the day and age which we live. So let's read it there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I'm telling you, go right through the list here and you can see all of these characteristics so prevalent today in our society. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, we see that today. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's a lot of churches today. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. We do pray, God, as we live in these perilous times, as we look at your promises, we pray we be encouraged this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. That word perilous means risky. It means destructive times. It means disastrous times. And we today live in perilous times. We see the devil's hand in nearly every area of society today, whether it's the government, the school, whether it's our monetary system, the deaths we see today, We see, again, the devil's hand and TV. And you can go on and on and on throughout this list. I wrote down the definitions of all these words, but we don't have time to go through every one of them. But again, you see there just for men, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfishness runs rampant today. I know sin basically is, the Bible defines sin as selfishness. As selfishness. But I'm telling you, on a new plane today, we have selfishness all rampant today amongst husbands and fathers and wives and mothers. I mean, it's unbelievable today. I remember a time, and it was talked about many years ago, that couples would stay together just for their kids' sake, just to be selfless enough to stay together, to raise their children in a home with a mama and a daddy. Today we have a lot of selfish parents. Today we have a lot of selfishness going on in our workplaces, and we could just make the big long list. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, strongly desiring another person's property. Well, we don't have that today at all, do we? What do you think the lottery's for? You know, covetous, just want more for nothing. I just want this. I want what the Joneses have. Boasters, exaggerated claim or to brag. Full of big words, exaggerations. People want to be more than what they are. Proud, that's just a feeling of satisfaction with oneself. Proud, just wrapped up in their selves, right? Proud, blasphemous, to speak again about the things of God in a slanderous way, or speaking evil, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, don't have any of that going on. Every child I've met, so calm and so obedient. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Going to the grocery store, there's no kids laying on the floor kicking and screaming. That don't happen, right? Didn't happen in my house with my kids. But today we have a lot of parents who have bought into the psychobabble of today. Instead of using the Bible as their training method for their kids, they're using psychology to train their kids. Are going to a psychologist to train their kids. I think I'll just stick with the book. Amen? Amen. It was good enough for my raising. I'm so glad I was raised the way I was raised. Oh, I'm so thankful for my parents. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Not appreciative. Ungrateful. Without gratitude. Nearly every American could fit in that category almost. And just go outside this country and see the way most people live. We have it so good today. And yet so many times we're ungrateful. God's been so good to us. Unthankful, unholy, ungodly. Without natural affection. We want to go into that this morning. The Bible teaches very plainly that homosexuality is a sin, that it's wrong, and that God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And we should love the sinner and hate the sin. But we see this going on today without natural affection. That would also include, you know, the things going on today, unbelievable with the child molestations and all the other unnatural things going on. It's unbelievable what's going on today. All right, I'm done with the list. Might get you depressed, wouldn't it? Spend a little time on the list, go through the list. You say, yes, preacher, that's exactly the way the world is today. That's exactly the way the world is today. Exactly. And you can go through that list and you can see it all over the place. But understand this morning that God's still on the throne. And just like the book of Ruth, if you've read the book of Ruth lately, what a tremendous blessing that little book is. And during a dark period of the nation of Israel's history, during just a terrible time in Israel's history, a beautiful story of Ruth rings true. And today you understand that every Christian has the ability, has the part in the family of God. I'm glad today that I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad today again that God is still on the throne. And in times like these, we do need a Savior. In times like these, we need a Savior, an anchor of our soul. If in times like these, number one, we need to rely on the power of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Listen this morning. God is all powerful. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Listen to me this morning. God created all things. And if He can create the sun, moon, and stars, if He can create the grass and the trees, if He can create Adam and Eve, then God can take care of me. If He's the Creator, and He is the Creator, then He's in control of all things, and therefore I can rely upon Him. I can rely upon His power. Have you ever been going down the road? Yes. Not very fun, is it? Especially in these new cars. You know, used to in the old cars, you could just keep punching the gas, you know, keep punching it, and go, tup, 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 and you just keep punching. And the new cars, man, they just like all run out of gas. No power. Let me tell you this morning, God never runs out of power. God never runs out of power. He is all powerful. The God-man Jesus Christ controls the wind and the waves. He controlled them merely by His voice. He said, "Peace, be still." And the waves, whoop, done. The storm went away. The clouds rolled back. Isn't that amazing? What a powerful, powerful voice. We have an all-powerful God, the Almighty, without limitations. He can and does perform according and whatever He wills. We should never be defeated. Whether we're teaching a Sunday school class, whether we're working with the Master's Club or working on a bus ministry, whether we're working in children's church, whether you're a mom or a dad, a brother, a sister, we have all the power in the world and the universe simply by praying. I used to have a t-shirt that said, "Plug into the power source." And on the back of it, it said, "Prayer." Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. You want power? All you got to do is get on your knees. Oh, Satan, he trembles when a saint gets on their knees and begins to pray. Even the weakest saint that gets on their knees to pray, Satan trembles. And just as we plug in to an electric socket to turn a fan on, so we must plug into Jesus Christ, the power of prayer. Without me, you can do nothing. Lord, I know, I know. Without me, you can do nothing. Only around zero. Stand by my side, O Master. Then one and zero are 10. Stand by my friend and me, Lord. We are 100 then. A little group of 2 or 3 are gathered in Thy name. 'Tis 100 or 1,000 if Thou art standing there with them. Stand by the side of each of us, Thy servants in the fight. With each new knot, the numbers grow. The imps of hell take flight. 10,000 million myriads, an adjustment of our thoughts. 'Tis the one who stands beside us makes the value of our knots. One plus God is a majority. It doesn't matter what we face. God on our side, who can be against us? The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. We can rely in these perilous times upon the power of God. Number 2, we can rely upon the purpose of God. We understand that when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed to His Heavenly Father, "Not Thy will, but Thy will. Not my will, but Thy will be done." One of the problems we have in facing difficulties and trials in life is we're not truly relying upon Him. And when that time comes, and when that trial comes, when that testing comes, then we're like, "God, what did you do? Why did you do this to me? Why is this happening to me?" Instead, we should say, as Jesus said, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." We need to, in times of trials and testings, we need to rely on the will of God. We need to rely that God has a purpose in our life. Amen? By the way, Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says, "His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are His ways our ways. For His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways." Amen? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God's never surprised. Amen? God knows everything. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're much higher. Remember the verse there that says, "Can any man teach God?" No, He knows everything. Amen? Nobody teaches God anything. And therefore, listen to me, because He knows everything, because He's all-powerful and He knows everything, He has a purpose for our lives. And when we go through a difficult time, whether it's nationally or in your own life, you should get on your knees and say, "Lord, not my will, but Your will be done." Yield to His purpose. My God says He will work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know the verse, Romans 8:28. In verse 29, He says, why? Why is He'll work all things together for good? Because He's conforming us into the image of Christ. He is working in us. I'm glad He's still working on me. You never arrive. You don't come, boop, 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 boop. Oh, I've arrived. You don't ever arrive as a Christian. You never get to the point you say, well, I just know the Bible and I'm you know, glorified, separated, perfect Christian. No, we never get there. Amen? I know you know those things. We should always rely on God's purpose and His guidance in our lives. Our man Judson clearly was appointed by the Holy Ghost in the ministry among the heathen. He reached Calcutta in the summer of 1820 or 1812 full of ardor for the preaching of the gospel, only to receive peremptory orders from the British government to leave the country at once and return to America. With sad hearts, the little missionary company retreated to the Isles of France, wondering why it had seemed a wide and effective door open to them should now be violently shut. But with unconquerable determination, they returned again to India, reaching Madras in the following June. Once more, their purpose was thwarted, and once more they were ordered from the country. And being compelled to quit the land, with heavy hearts, they fled to Rangoon, to a place which Judson, listen to this, to a place which Judson, now he's a missionary, had declared that he regarded with the utmost aversion as a missionary field. Don't ever tell God you're not going to go somewhere. Lord, I don't want to go to Hawaii. I don't want to go there as a missionary. I don't want to go there. Lord, don't send me to Hawaii. I don't want to. There, he was permitted to stay, only to find bonds and imprisonment awaiting him. He got thrown in jail several times. But all is clear now. Judson was forbidden by the Spirit to enter India because God would have him in Burma. Park Street Church in Boston, who tried to call him as their pastor, ran in the thousands and still is a large church. But by the time Ardnan Judson's church was finished, there was 30,000. God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for my life. I'm glad I live a life with purpose. I'm glad I live a life that has purpose. Even in political unrest and the things going on today, God rules in the affairs of man. We need to rely upon the purpose of God. We need to rely upon the power of God. We need to rely, like this one. I like this one. Everybody listen. We need to rely upon the people of God. We need to rely upon the people of God. Your church family is important. My church family is important to me. My best friends are in this auditorium. I mean that. We need to rely upon the church family to love each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to help each other. Every once in a while to rebuke each other. But in the Bible, there are the anothers. The anothers of the Bible. I've listed these before. Y'all ready? Here are the anothers in the Bible. I'm going to preach every one of these someday. I keep saying that. I've been saying that for like 14 years. Here they are. Jesus said in John 15:12, love one another as I have loved you. We need to rely upon the people of God. And we as the people of God need to love each other as Christ loved us. Amen? Unconditional love. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We ought to kiss each other. It says greet each other with a holy kiss. We need to shake hands with each other. Back then, custom was to kiss. Well, I don't want anybody kissing me except my wife. She can kiss me as much as she wants. Amen? Nobody has a problem with that, right? But kiss each other. Greet each other. Greet each other. A warm handshake, a smile, chest bump, fist bump. Amen? We're the family of God. This is my brothers and sisters in this room. Amen? We ought to love each other as Christ loved us. We ought to greet each other warmly and so forth. Galatians 5:13 says, love serves one another. Serve one another. We need to be servants to each other. Galatians 5:26 says, provoking one another. Every once in a while we need just a little bit of a kick in the pants, right? Brother, just come on now. Come on, you can do it. Provoke him a little bit. You know, do a cartwheel. Ephesians 4:2, and y'all know this is one of my favorite ones. Forbearing one another. You know what that word forbear means? Put up with each other. As Christians, as the family of God, just as in your personal family, you put up with people that you may not necessarily get along with very well, but you put up with them because you're a family. Amen? And the church family is the same way. There may be some people that just irritate you. But you know what? You forbear them. You put up with them. Why? Because they're part of your family. They're part of the family of God. Ephesians 4:25 says, "For we are members one of another." We're members one of another. We're hooked together. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another, forgiving one another." We're going to hurt each other's feelings from time to time. That is going to happen. But we need to forgive each other. We need to forgive each other. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit yourselves one to another." Colossians says, "Admonish one another." 1 Thessalonians says, "Comfort one another." 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Edify, build each other up." Our job is not to tear each other down. When a brother falls, our job is to pick him up. Amen? To pray for them and pick them up. Exhort one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. James 5:16 says, "Pray one for another." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Having compassion one for another." These are things as Christians we ought to do for each other. Some of the meanest people I know and some of the meanest relationships I've seen are Christians fighting against other Christians. Amen? And sometimes preachers that I know who are just mean as a... I don't know how to say it. I don't know any of those sayings, but really mean. Mean. No, we're to be loving and kind and gracious. We ought to have the spirit of servitude and serving one another and having compassion one for another. That's what the family of God is to be like. Amen? We are a family. And in times of crisis, in times of perilous times, we need to rely upon each other. Can we rely upon you? I hope so. Amen? Number four, rely upon the presence of God. I'm glad today I have here on the pulpit the Bible. This week, this has been just a tremendous week with Vacation Bible School, and we left the Bible up for one more Sunday, even though it gets in the way. But it's tremendous. They did such a tremendous job with it this week. Our kids learned so much. And I reminded everyone Wednesday night about how special the Bible is. The Word of God that we hold in our hand. This is a special book. This book is powerful, the Bible says. Sharper than any two-edged sword. This Bible is powerful. It's dynamic. It's like dynamite. If you want dynamite in your life, you want power in your life, read the book. Read the book. And in perilous times, and in divisive times, we need the presence of God. God wrote the book. The Lord said, "Lo, I am with you always." And the Lord is with us. The Bible says He's not very far from any of us. If you're a Christian here this morning, God is with you. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He wrote the book. He fails not. You can rely upon the book. The Bible says that it never changes. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus is. But the book has been preserved for us. I hold in my hand this morning the inspired, inerrant, the very Word of God. This is the only book that will never let you down. Amen? Other people let you down, but God will never let you down. The book will never let you down. This is the greatest book on earth. The book. It's reliable. It's without error. It's profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is profitable for you. You want your life to be profitable? Read the book. Read the Bible. Study the Word of God. Now, we said this week that we use the King James because we believe it to be the most honest translation. And we went through that Wednesday night. Why do you use the King James Bible? Because we believe it to be the most honest translation. The King James is not copyrighted. If we want to, we can set up a printing press and print as much as we wanted to the King James. Are you saying, preacher, that the other versions, that many of them are financially based? Absolutely. written for financial gain. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because most of the printing corporations now are owned by big corporations. They're not owned by Zondervan anymore. They're not owned by, godly Christian people anymore. They're owned by corporations who are out to make money. And they'll do anything they can to make money. I'm glad today I hold in my hand the King James Bible that I believe is reliable, trustworthy, and without error. That's the book I have. And in times like these, in perilous times, we need something reliable, trustworthy. Your pastor's going to let you down sometimes. Your friends may let you down, but God will never let you down. The Bible will never let you down. Amen? Maybe I'll start sleeping with it tonight. Hold it dear. Amen? This is the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God. Lastly, this is the best one. You can rely on the promises of God. In perilous times, we can rely upon the promises of God. Jesus said Himself, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the promise we have from God. That Jesus Christ one day will return. Verse 4 says, "And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him in verse 6 of John chapter 14, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Listen this morning, Jesus says Himself, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in My Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. 1 Thessalonians says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be called together to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And verse 18 says, "Comfort one another with these words. Christ is soon to return." He can return today. I'm so glad for the promises of God. I'm glad for the promise of salvation. We've learned this week in VBS how that, again, we see in Goliath and David, we see that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says that the wage of sin is death. Death. The penalty of sin is death. What is death? Revelation defines death as death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Pastor, are you saying there's a hell? The Bible says there's a hell. Revelation says those who are sinners, which is all of us, one day will die physically, and one day will die spiritually. One day when that death comes, you either live in heaven or hell. It's two choices. You say, well, what's the cure? For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised that if we'll call upon His name, we can be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The promise of God is true. The promise of God rings true in these perilous times. Do you know the Savior this morning? Are you saved? He's promised to save you if you'll simply believe and trust in Him. His life, His death, and His resurrection as your only means of salvation. Repent of your sins, the Bible says, and come to Him, and He'll save you. The promises of God, and there are many, the promise of His presence we've already discussed. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Listen, I'm relying upon God. In perilous times, I'm relying upon the power of God because He is all-powerful. And He never runs out. His power is unlimited. Amen? Everybody still with me? His power is unlimited. I'm relying upon the purpose of God, that whatever comes into my life, the perilous times that come into my life, that He's directing those things, that He's in control. I'm relying upon the people of God. When things are not going well, I rely upon my friends. I rely upon my church family who will come to me in my time of need and minister to me. Amen? I rely upon the presence of God. He's promised, again, to never leave me nor forsake me. We know that because of the Word of God that is up here in the pulpit and you have in your lap. Then I rely upon the promise of God. Again, His presence. His provision. He's promised to supply all my needs. He's promised to supply all of your needs. And He will never let you down. He's promised to help you in your time of need. He's promised to give you that peace that passes all understanding. He's promised to give you power that you need. One day He's promised you a mansion in heaven. Amen? Not some room. A mansion in heaven. One day I'll live in a mansion. One day I'll live in heaven. One day, that's the promises of God. Rely upon God in perilous times. That's the crux of the message this morning. There's no song that says, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. A message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. The message is very simple this morning. We must simply come to Jesus. Look to Him. Rely upon Him. Rely upon His power. Rely upon His presence. Rely upon His people. Rely upon the promises of God. And He'll never let you down. Look to Jesus this morning. Do you know Jesus? You know, you can't rely upon Him if you don't know Him. You know, I rely upon my dad because there's a track record there. I know my dad will come through for me. I rely upon the Savior because there's a track record there. He's come through for me. Many, many, many times. But if you don't know the Savior, there's no track record there. You must first know the Savior. And to know Him, you must come to Him, repentant of heart, knowing you're a sinner, and trusting in Him that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross, and on the third day He rose again, that He might save me from my sins, that He might save me from hell and give me a home in heaven. You say, preacher, that's all? Yes, that's all. Well, what about joining the church? No. It's not by works that righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. According to His grace, He saves us. There's nothing we can do can get us into heaven. He's already done it. And He did it by dying on the cross and raising from the dead. If you don't know the Savior this morning, I pray you'll come to Jesus. And those of us who are saved, let's rely upon the power of God, the purpose of God, the presence of God, the people of God, and the power, the promises of God. Let's all stand.